12 years ago, I met a guy that worked on my car. He's an older gentleman. He was a great, great guy. We developed a relationship. I found out he was in the hospital, and I knew he was lost. And so I was going on vacation. I thought, well, I'll swing by while I'm on my way out of town. And I swung by the hospital and met with him in the hospital room, and we joked around and talked. And I thought, you know, I really need to share Jesus with him. I know he's lost, and would go to hell if he died, and he's here in the hospital. So I got to talking with him, and we made small talk, and I thought, well, he seems like he's feeling better. And so I told him, well, what we'll do, I said, I'll tell you what, I'll come back when I get back in town. I'll come back and see you. I said, because we've got some things we really need to talk about. And he said, man, that would be great. That would be fine. And so I left the hospital room thinking, hey, in a couple of days, I'm really going to share Jesus with this guy and pray he gets saved. And so when I came back in town, I went to the hospital and he wasn't there. And I went by his place of business and they told me the news that he had passed away in the hospital. And I knew then I'd missed the opportunity to share Jesus with that guy. And so wherever you are, whatever you do, if there's an opportunity, tell the story of Jesus to your family. Tell the story of Jesus to your friends. Speak Jesus to everyone you come in contact with, because you never know if it's their last day.
Mm. Boy, both of those videos today really bring it home, don't they? How many of y'all understand, what are we going to be about this whole new year, this whole year? What are we going to be about? That's pretty good on this side. What about this side? What about the balcony? What about this side? Oh, guys, come on. This side. All right, good. If you are a guest here today and you're going, why does this church act like this? Because it does. And we just figured out a long time ago after reading the Word of God and praying deeply and letting the Holy Spirit get involved in us, that God had not called us to sit and stare at each other for 60 minutes during the week, and that's the extent of our faith. But God that's called, we have a Jesus who has saved us and called us into a new life. Do you see the double ring there? Not only has he forgiven us of our sins, but he's called us into a new life. And so I want you to realize this today. Part of following Jesus Christ is learning to celebrate who he is. So if you don't mind, if you just kind of look at your neighbor so they can get this word and say, I am involved in the celebration. Go ahead and let them know. I'm involved in the celebration. I'm involved in the celebration. Y'all did good. Y'all did good. Well, let's pray. This isn't a long message today, so I want you all to be really quick listeners, because a lot of times it's a long message here today. You know, a lot of times I preach a little longer. Today I'm not preaching as long because I really want you to get this. We've talked about this. We have been made by God, or if you will, remade in Jesus Christ, to go into the world and let other people know about Jesus Christ. So I have an absolute prayer every Sunday. Some of you have been brought here today because you need to realize that you need to let Jesus Christ in your life. Does that make sense? You need to let Jesus Christ into your what? Life. And so we're going to really see what that does. Jesus calls us to follow him. How many of y'all have noticed that to be true? Follow me. Some of you in small group and in Bible study, the more you go through the New Testament, there's this one rhythm of Jesus constantly. What? What? Follow me. Now, I'm going to ask you a very serious question as a church, because we're getting there. You hear some people, I've heard this in the churches of America, it makes me really upset. They say, Pastor Ayers, we don't do a lot of evangelism in our church. We don't really reach out to our community because we're now a mature and deep congregation. I'm like, what Bible do you all read? Now, hold on. Let's think about this for a minute. Most mature things do what? Well, let's not go old. Let's go mature, okay? When something matures, it can what? A mature apple tree has, what does it have? Apples, thank you. It has apples. It doesn't have oranges. A mature orange tree can do what? Mature grapevine. When corn matures, you corn. Okay, so when when things, y'all a little slow this morning at 9:30. When things mature, they naturally reproduce. They reproduce. And I want you to know, because I really want you to understand this, that our heartbeat at Hillview of reaching people has nothing to do with having a large crowd. It has to do with this heart. Jesus truly wants to save people and make people new. Make sense? And there's just a lot of people that need to hear this message. This is a whole year on learning how to tell it. Tell it. So last week we talked, before we can tell it, we got to follow him, you remember? Sometimes we got to drop nets. We got things we're tangled up in. We got to let go of things to follow who Jesus really is in our lives. And we'll start telling it. Today, I just simply want to let you know this. After you follow Jesus, would you just invite some friends to hear what he does? And you all may think I'm on a simple message, but this is amazing. 97%, it's estimated through statistics, that 97% of people that claim to go to a Bible-believing church have never shared their faith with their friends. That means only 3% of the people in the United States of America are talking about Jesus. Cynthia, I believe that to be pretty true. Watch this. Even at Hillview, I'd say, I give you the best. We got about 10% of our membership that's really out there connecting with people, really asking them to come to church. Like, and don't raise your hand. Just think about this. Did any of you ask somebody to come with you today? Cool. Now, listen, I'm not, whether they say yes or no, that's their business. I'm just asking you to ask. Does that make sense? I'm asking you to ask. And you all are marvelous people, man. God's created some incredibly cool people that he lets and allows to come to Hillview Heights Church. And you know what? If y'all just open your mouths and invite your friends to come in and hear Jesus, how many of you are beginning to get a passion? I don't want my friends to go to hell. I don't want my friends to go to hell. You know what scares me? You know what really scares me? America has turned so far away from God, there are going to be millions of people that end up in hell from the United States of America. Because we've gotten to one of the worst places we could be in this nation. We believe we can do our own thing, and as long as it agrees with us, really doesn't matter what God says, we'll do what we want to do, and if it pleases me, that's all right. Wouldn't you agree that's where we are now? Instead of, wait a minute, there is a God that would like to bring me a full and abundant life, like to change everything about me, give me life. So I hope today you'll receive life. And then I hope today, if you have received life and you're following Jesus Christ, you might open up your life to invite some of your friends to connect with Jesus. That makes sense? So when you start following Jesus, one of the first places you share Jesus is next door, your neighbors and your friends. We got to take the gospel next door before he ends up in the world. Does that make sense? In fact, here's what's going to blow you all away. The more we reach Bowling Green, the more we'll reach the world. Yeah? How many of y'all have ever been to this high school, Warren Central High School? If you've been to Warren Central High School, then guess what? If you've looked inside that campus, you have heard this. Go ye therefore and gather all nations. They've already been pulled together right there at Warren Central High School for you. 29 of them. You go to Greenwood High School, it looks different than it used to. All of our high schools look different than it used to. Why? I don't know about you, but I live in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and I can go eat genuine Bosnian food. When I was a kid, we didn't even know where Bosnia was. If you'd have said we met a Bosnian, we'd have thought that was somebody from Hart County. You know, lived up there toward Boston, Kentucky. I mean, we didn't know these things. Stall, we didn't know these things when we were kids, did we? We never seen a Bosnian or a Serbian. We didn't know what that was. Coach, you know I'm telling the truth. You played ball here when you was a kid. A foreigner was from Brownsville. I mean, we were worried about people from Edmonton County sneaking down on Saturday night. We wasn't sure. And today, God has done this in our county. He has made our neighbors the world. That's pretty cool, isn't it, Doc? You live in Bowling Green now. You know, it's even where you came from. You was on down in Western Kentucky a little bit. But, you know, even coming just a few, an hour and a half from Western Kentucky to South Central Kentucky and Bowling Green, Kentucky, your whole world changed, didn't it? You don't have a lot of Bosnians over in Western Kentucky, do you? I mean, okay, you have some Hispanics. And foreign people over in Western Kentucky are people from Illinois that have slid over across the river there. You know? We live in a different world. But I had to ask myself this question, Richard. Why, Andy, why is God bringing the nations together in this moment of history? Why would God bring all the nations together in this moment of history? You know what I think? God's brought people here to Bowling Green, Kentucky for one reason, that they might hear about Jesus Christ, who was crucified on a cross, risen from a grave, who would get into their life and who would change their life forever and ever. What do y'all think? That might be our responsibility to this city. What do you think? That's Hillview Heights' responsibility. We do one thing really well. We run our mouth well about Jesus. We do that pretty well, all right? Now, if you're looking for a sophisticated, pretty church, we're not it. If you're looking for a church that wears suits and ties, we do sometimes. But most of the time, somebody's dead when that happens. Okay? If you're looking for a church, though, that welcomes all kinds of different people to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're in the right place. We don't care where you come from in Hillview Heights Church. We really don't care where you've been. But let me tell you what we're sold out to is where you might go in Jesus. Isn't that cool? Amen, Ms. I'm with you. Where you might go in Jesus. How many sinners do we have here today at Hillview? How many of you all got an A+ in sinning? I was a good sinner. I had a group of pastors the other day, young pastors, and they said, Pastor Ayers, how come you're really good relating to sinners? I said, I was good at it. I thought I was having a good time while I was dying. Any of y'all join that road? I even thought I was at a party and it really wasn't a party. But for a minute, I thought it was a party. I was living a life at times that was disconnected from God, and there wasn't really any energy or forever in that. It's just a moment. How many of y'all are living by the moment, or are you living in eternity? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've been placed in eternity. And so I'm going to call on you to do something. Go ahead and live out the full and abundant life. Amen. Love, peace, and joy is in you. Let it out. Let it out. You know, sometimes if I listen to the news, I want to get depressed, but then I realize the truth. The world's going to be over and Jesus is going to reign. That's the truth. You say, well, Pastor, they're going to get all of our money. I'm not going to need it in heaven. I mean, there is good news in Jesus no matter how you look at it. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, let me give you the setup today. I want you to know that some of you, all of you, whosoever wills, invited to the party that God will throw. Hillview, I want to open us up a little bit. We're a church that knows how to celebrate. Back in my mullet days of pastoring, that's the way I denote that era of time. Don't y'all laugh, some of y'all have one too. How many of you realize that our things go out of style and God's things stay forever? Isn't that true? How many of y'all have ever looked back at pictures? And even some of you ladies, remember that hairdo you got 20 years ago that you paid a lot of money for? And now you look at it and say, I look like that? There's a few of you men, one that I know in particular, Tim Murley. Our school superintendent at one time wore a chocolate silk shirt with a collar this wide with a lime green coat. And walked through Berksville, Kentucky thinking he was cool. And now he looks at those pictures and say, my God, why did I forsake you? I mean, Sheriff, you probably had ruffles on your tux at one time, didn't you? And now we'd wonder about you if you had ruffles on your tux. You know what I mean? You see, our moments are strictly that. Moments. And hear me, church. God's decision to save us lasts forever. It goes beyond our moments. Jesus, welcome people to his kingdom. And church, I want to read this out of Matthew 5, verse 27. And I want to give us some, let's keep our heads up and let's keep that. I want us to become a place that invites people to meet Jesus always. And some of y'all look at me and say, well, Pastor Ayers, we do that. Well, I would like to increase that in the name of Jesus. I would like for everybody to begin to get their invite on, if you will. To invite people to hear what Jesus got to say. Watch this. It's amazing. Last night, Willie Nelson was in concert here in Bowling Green, Kentucky, right? And my wife, she knows about that Sky Pack, whatever, all those things. You know, I'd have liked to have gone and heard Willie Nelson last night. I had a previous engagement. But my wife didn't even order tickets for Willie Nelson. But she did order tickets to this thing called Cats. And I had to go to Cats. And I went to Cats. It was a bunch of people prancing around in cat suits for 3 hours. They don't even talk. I mean, I paid money for silent prancing cats. And here Willie Nelson comes to town, an idol. I mean, a folk hero of the South. All the girls I ever loved before. Whiskey River Tall. Oh, I'm not supposed to mention that one. Willie Nelson, he sings Amazing Grace, honey. He's done some gospel. I asked Elizabeth, I said, did you even think about getting tickets to Willie Nelson? She goes, he's old. Nobody will go hear him. Sold out in 15 minutes. Last time I heard Willie Nelson, I had a mullet. People went to hear Willie Nelson. It sold out in 20 minutes. Why? People were inviting others to come. This week, people go, I got 4 Willie Nelson tickets. I had 6 people offer me 4 Willie Nelson tickets. Got 4 Willie Nelson tickets. What if we invited people to Jesus' story like we would to a Willie Nelson concert? But guess what? Even the prancing cats was sold out. And I didn't even have a storyline. I mean, after I got done, I was trying to be philosophical. I was trying to act like that I could fit in at the theater. And I said, I was coming up with all these philosophical things about cats and how it paralleled to life. And I'm sharing it with Clacy because she's smart. And she goes, Dad, you know, I really think after it's all said and done, it's just a bunch of cats dancing. Don't even laugh, Elizabeth. You were trying to come up with some meaning, and all you could do is figure out is a bunch of cats prancing. You know why we went? You know why we went? I mean, I've never in my life had a desire to go see a bunch of cats prance around on stage, Sheriff, not one time. I've never been driving my truck and go, man, I'd like to see a bunch of cats. I don't even like cats. Now, if it had been a theater production entitled I Shot the Cat, I'm on the front row. But this is just cats. You know why Elizabeth wanted to go? Because she'd been to New York and she had seen a billboard that said cats. And that billboard invited her to one of the stupidest 3 hours of my life. Hold on. Y'all with me today? And here you and I got changed lives. We got a life that is full and abundant, full of joy and peace and love, a life that helps people live like no other life, and we remain silent. Church, it's time for us to wake up and literally start throwing the parties that invite our friends to Jesus. And if y'all think I'm being unbiblical or sacrilegious, let me take you to Luke chapter 5, verse 27, and let me show you how Jesus did it. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. How many of you all like tax collectors? I mean, how many of you all say this, man, if your best friend was a tax collector, what would you think about him? Sheriff, you're a little bit of a tax collector, a property tax collector. Now, we like you because you send others out to do your dirty work. We know what you do. You don't show up, your reps show up. You kind of like Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. Poor Levi, he's sitting at the booth, and what does he do at the booth? And what is collecting taxes? Brother takes your money. Now do you feel it? How many of y'all on April the 15th are just filled with joy? Come on, be honest. I just want y'all to know, I try to remain saved. But sometimes I don't look at it on April 15th. Sometimes I came in one April 15th and I told everybody, I said, don't you send one person in here today asking for money. They go, why? I said, blah, 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 blah. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like people to take my money. However, guess what? I do know I need to pay my taxes because I have benefited from paying taxes. How many of y'all realize we got to pay taxes? We got to pay taxes. How many of y'all drove in today to church? How many of y'all enjoyed the drive? How many of y'all had yellow lines on the road? How many of y'all thought that was pretty cool? Pastor Robinson, when he was alive and he was here with us, our pastor in Costa Rica, one of the most amazing things he would say about America, and I used to get so tickled when I was driving down the road with him, he goes, these lines are amazing. He was so amazed that in America we had yellow lines in our road. Because in Costa Rica, you just have a road. And you have two directions people have agreed upon to drive. And then you have those that drive in those standard directions. And then you have those that make directions up along the drive. It's a little chaotic. It's interesting. Well, the law's interesting there. When you have a wreck, you just settle it on the side of the road. But in America, because of tax dollars, we get to drive kind of orderly. It's pretty cool, isn't it? How many of y'all went to a public school? How many of y'all can read and write and you found that to be beneficial for the rest of your life? That was a public school. That was tax dollars. That was us working together. So we got to take up taxes. But you know what? A lot of people don't like tax collectors. Now, I know we don't have any taxes like this in America today, but back in the ancient days, they had some unfair and unjust taxes. Back in this particular time, they would tax some people a lot more than they would tax others. I'm glad we don't do that today, right? Like the tax collector, he would decide that he didn't like you, so he'd charge you a little more than he had charged somebody else. Now, we're way past that with our advanced understanding of psychology, sociology, and the human spirit. We would never tax others more than others because of other means. But these tax collectors, they'd kind of choose who they wanted to bless and who they'd wanted to curse. I'm glad that we don't have any political system that would be favor of some and discount of others, aren't you? That we've advanced with our great education and technology. How many of you all have found that we've always been sinners in need of grace? Levi's a tax collector, and who invites him aboard? Note this. Jesus. And tax collectors are a special category of sinners. I mean, if you read the Bible, it always says tax collectors and sinners. Like, tax collectors don't even fit in your average sinner. They have their own special category. And here's Levi, a tax collector, and guess what Jesus does? Jesus goes by Levi, and he doesn't go, you bum. He doesn't look at Levi and call him a crook. Guess what he does? He says, follow me. Jesus said to him. And guess what Levi did? Got up, left everything, and what? Now this is tough. Levi's an American. What does he like? It's old Matthew, disciple Matthew. What does Levi like? Anybody know? Come on, get with me. What does Levi like? What does Levi like? Money. You reckon Levi might have, like if he saw, you know, if I saw Joseph as a tax collector, I might charge him an extra $5 just because he got cool hair. You know what I mean? I'd charge Elizabeth a lot because she took me to that cat's thing. But see what I'm saying? He'd charge these taxes. And Jesus looks and says to Levi, come and follow me. And he drops everything and he follows him. Same last week. They dropped their nets and what? Followed him. So I bet there's something really strong in the Bible that tells us if we're really going to connect with Jesus, what's the key phrase there? Follow him. I contend and have proposed this in several articles. If the church in America would follow Jesus as much as it spends money and time trying to figure him out, the world would be changed. But I think the devil's got us spinning. We think if we figure it out, somehow that's following him. And it's very interesting. Jesus never said, sit here and ponder me. He said, follow me. But we spend a lot of time, what? Pondering. Instead of following. Because I'll tell you what, if you follow Jesus, somebody's going to get ticked off. How many of y'all know that to be true? Now, Hillview, I want you to go back to the mullet days for just a minute. Second year I was pastor here, 20 years ago. I remember out on the sign, we had the ugliest sign that God ever let exist. in a church lawn. In fact, when we pulled that sign up, the ground rejoiced to get that kind of ugly out of it. That's an ugly sign. And on that ugly sign, we put this on. And man, I'm going to tell you, it's crazy. It's crazy. People went crazy about this. On the sign, I put, party in progress, 8 o'clock, 9:30, 11 o'clock. Because you know what, Hillview, I still believe this. We ought to be the best party of the weekend. What do you think, Richard? Can you handle being in a party in church? Now, some of y'all look at me. Some of our guests are going, man, I'm getting out of here. I've heard rumors about this place. Don't panic. We're not going to break a keg out or anything. Just be careful. Just chill out, all right? Just chill out. And you know what Levi does? This is the ministry skill he has. He has the ability to throw a party, a banquet. And today I wanted to challenge us as a church to be great banquet throwers. At a banquet, you always have an honored guest, don't you? At a banquet, you're celebrating great things that are going on. Coach Riley, how many banquets have you been to in a lifetime? But at banquet, you're celebrating a season. And for you, you always got to celebrate successful seasons. How many of y'all are ready to invite people to your house, to a party where Jesus would be the honored guest? This is what Levi did. He had one skill. As a tax collector, guess what he knew how to do? Throw a party. How many of y'all think it's pretty cool that God can use a money grubbing party planner in his kingdom? Matthew, I mean, he hadn't read his scrolls. He's been a tax collector, but he finds what he can do and he does it well. And look what he does. Levi held a great banquet for Jesus. What kind of banquet? Somebody read that. What kind of banquet? Great. Hold on, I got to preach here just a minute. We ought to do great things for God. Church, we've come a long way. We do great things from God. I'm glad as our church has grown up, we're starting to do it with excellence. I'm glad when I drink coffee here, it's not some kind of generic Folgers that's not good to the last drop. I remember going to church, and one of the things that infuriated me as a child, I went to the First Baptist Church, a great white temple, and people are loaded down there. You know what they fed me for Bible school? Fake Kool-Aid and fake Oreos. Oh, I'm not at a generic party. I mean, have they not read the Bible? Jesus goes to a wedding. He gets rid of the cheap wine and brings in the top shelf. Yeah. That's why that couldn't possibly be grape juice, folks. How many of y'all have ever gone to the store and said, I'd like some top shelf grape juice? The best, a great banquet, not just a banquet, the best. Hold on, somebody help me. Marsha, when you take your beautiful bride out for her anniversary, do you go to Crystal's? You better not, or there won't be another anniversary. Because the great happening has a great event. Hold on, guys, listen. I want you to change just a little bit. I want you to change your thinking a little bit. For 52 moments out of a year, we get to throw a great banquet at 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon and on Wednesday, we throw moments where we honor Jesus as our guest and we invite people to life. That's what Levi did, man. Levi said this, I'm going to use my house and my connections so people might meet Jesus. Now, I want you to know, nothing's changed. People get disturbed when you invite everybody to Jesus. If you're going to hang out at Hillview, we're a disturbing church to religious people. And I want you to hear me with all love in my heart. I really don't care because I've read the Bible. And I want to welcome who Jesus welcomes. I could care less about being Baptist approved. Because if all you are is a Baptist, you got a hell of a problem. Don't you Methodists get cocky. You won't make it either. And just because you Church of Christ think you're the only ones, that doesn't mean you are. And the Pope won't be enough on the day of judgment. There is one Son of God. His name is Jesus. He was crucified. He was resurrected. And he doesn't tell us to become anything but a child of his. to repent of our sins. That means to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've messed up. I want you in my life. I want you to know that when we turn from who we are, isn't that right, Timmy? And ask Jesus to come into our lives, he'll heal us and we'll live different, won't we, Timmy? We will. You're a testimony of that. I want you to know that what we preach in here isn't to entertain your religiousness. It's to allow God's righteousness to explode into your everyday life. Isn't that cool? If you will, we wake up into a party every day if we would allow it. That we would invite our friends to meet Jesus. Now, let me tell you what happened. Da-da-da-dum. Here come the religious. They are raving mad. Boy, I hear them all the time in our county. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Here they come. Who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Folks, I eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners. You know why? Well, let me help you. Without the grace of God, that is me. I'm not special. I'm saved. How many of y'all realize you're not special? You're saved. I thank God every day. This morning I woke up, man, I looked outside and I said, Lord, we're going to get to preach another Sunday. I said, Lord, thank you for saving me. That's one of the things I used to realize. I wondered why when I was a young kid and I'd go in church, there'd always be an old man stand up, you know, and give a little testimony. And on Sunday nights, we couldn't do it on Sunday mornings, but Sunday nights we could. We had to be quiet on Sunday morning. And on Sunday nights, he'd stand up and he'd say, I want to thank God for Barry, you've heard it. I want to thank God for saving my soul. He'd be 90 years old, and I'd say, man, Lord have mercy. Surely he'd been saved a long time. Why does he say that every time? You know what I'm beginning to say every morning? Lord God, thank you for saving my soul. Because I realize, if not for the grace of God, I live no life. How many of y'all have come that far? If not for the grace of God, I don't have much going on. But with the grace of God, all things are possible. Do you see the difference, guys? Man, they got mad. I want you to hear what drives this church. We love sinners and tax collectors. Y'all okay with that? Yeah. You know what I love about Hillview? Everybody's invited to meet who? Jesus. Now, Jamie, he's cool. Pastor Jamie's cool. But if that's all you meet, that's not enough. He's too short to get you to heaven. But if you meet Pastor, Dr., the Reverend James Ward, I tell you what, you'll meet Jesus pretty quickly. We got to start thinking like that. Hold on. When you meet me, I'd like to introduce you to my friend who? Jesus. How many of you ever been to a good restaurant? Anybody ever been to a good restaurant? What do you do after you leave that good restaurant? I mean, first you leave a tip. Thank you. Praise God. That's good. That's being Jesus-like. After you leave a tip, you walk out and you feel full. I mean, if it's just an overwhelming meal, what do you do? You tell somebody. But what does it sound like when somebody else tells you about a good meal? Yeah, sometimes I get disappointed when I go eat where somebody's told me to go because they could talk about the food a lot better than it actually was. You know, they'll go, man, it's the best hamburger you ever put in your life. I mean, it just melts in your mouth and special sauce runs down your cheek and you can't get it off. And you just, I mean, the hamburger almost wants to eat you. That's how good it is. You know, you go to a restaurant and your eyes are all right. But somebody told me enough. Listen, what if we were that madly in love with you? Then when you meet me, I got to tell you about who, Tracy. I got to tell you about who. I got to tell you about Jesus. This is what not he's done, but this is what he's doing. And he wants to forgive you and love you. I want to tell you, I got to end on this today. But praise be to God that we follow a Jesus that welcomes all kinds of people to his great house. Amen. He welcomes all kinds of people to his great moments. And Hillview, I just want to encourage you, keep telling it, all right? And I pray that on this third Sunday, we'll be reminded of this. As we tell it, everybody here needs to become one giant invitation. Meet my Savior Jesus. Be amazed. Elizabeth and I have been married so long now, man, we get to witness a lot together. One of the reasons is people look at me and then they look at her and they go, how or why would you marry a guy like that? And then secondly, they go, how could you stay married to a guy that long? Guess whose name comes up? Jesus. It fries young couples. They said, "How y'all been married that long without getting a divorce?" I said, "Jesus." They go, "Are you religious?" I said, "Absolutely not. I'm a Jesus guy. Jesus has forgiven us of our sins. He's remade our lives so that when we hit difficulty, we can get through instead of go apart." How many of you always know when you get around Jesus, what does he always do? He brings things what? Yeah. And he'd like to bring us together so that we can go out and invite people to the party. Amen. Has this made any sense today? Let's make this practical. I want you to take a personal responsibility to be a banquet thrower throughout this year and invite your friends, even if they're tax collectors and sinners. How many of y'all got some tax collectors and sinners as friends? And if you don't, if you'll come see me, I have a long list and I'd be glad to introduce you to some of mine. We got to hang out with people that don't know Jesus and invite them to what? Know Jesus. Because here's what Jesus said. All I can tell you is what Jesus said. How many of y'all sometimes feel like you'll never be good enough to be saved? Any of y'all ever had that feeling? I used to walk in church, man, especially revival time, and preacher would be talking about all the bad people, be talking about people that smoke cigarettes, and they were going to go to hell. I'm like, "Oh, that's bad." So he said, "If you like cigarettes, you were doomed." I liked them. He said, "They taste bad." I disagreed with him. He said, "If you went to parties and liked it, there was no hope for you." Well, I had 11 o'clock worship that went like this. And then Friday night parties that went like this. Huh? I'm just telling you what happened to me. And I found out we had it backwards. Jesus is throwing a party that's nonstop, never comes, and the cops can't close it. But I wish the church would open up its banquet halls a little more. And I wish it would invite the people that Jesus really, really wants to invite. And guess what he says? In Hillview, I can't do anything but thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for loving tax collectors and sinners and people like me. Because we need to meet Jesus. Here's what he said. The Pharisees, they were bothered. They couldn't figure out how Jesus could hang out with these people. In verse 31, chapter 5, Gospel of Luke, Jesus answered them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor." I think that's pretty logic. "But the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." Who said that? Jesus. So I just want you all to know that the best way that Jesus can tell people about himself is through you. And so if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I pray to God right now, you're going to become a big invitation. And some of you are going to be pretty invitations. You know what I mean? Like Lisa Murley, you'll be a fancy invitation. You'll have calligraphy on your invitation. That's cool. That's who God made you to be. Tim, his will be on a napkin. Y'all come, all right? See what I'm saying? God uses all of our invitations. Y'all come and see who? Jesus. And so I want to ask you to do something. I promise to do something every time we meet at this party. First of all, I promise to tell you every Sunday who hosts it. His name is Jesus. I promise to tell you what caused it, the cross and resurrection. And I promise to invite your friends to receive Jesus every Sunday. Now here's where we work together. Would y'all bring some friends? It breaks my heart. We got three services at Hillview. Once we fill those three services up, and I believe we're going to do that shortly, we'll have a fourth service. And after that, we'll have a fifth service. I'm not going to spend my time building buildings. We got enough seats here. We got enough seats for God to seat every. And guess what? If we get filled on Sunday, who says you can't worship on Monday? Make sense? We got enough seats. Here's where we're lacking. We don't have enough invitations at work. And so I'm going to call you, man. "Hey, listen, I'm just crazy. I hadn't changed. Ma'am, you know what I'd love to see at Godstock? What if 3,000 were baptized at Godstock?" It happened in Jerusalem. Tim, you believe it could happen in the 21st century? I do, because I believe like you. I believe God's the same today as he was yesterday and will be tomorrow. Y'all think I'm crazy? I'd love for the Barren River to be missing some water because so many people baptized in it. Y'all say, Pastor Harris, you've lost your mind. Really? There's 90,000 people here, Marshall, that are not in church in Warren County today. And if we're not careful, man, I'm going to tell you what happens. We'll get so excited about having the party in here, we'll forget to invite other people to the party. We'll do it with a good heart, but it has the same result, Andy. Have y'all ever just accidentally forgotten to invite somebody special to something special, and it wasn't because you didn't like them, it's just you really did forget? I think sometimes we just forget that our lives are a little bit more about worrying about ourselves, but that we are to invite people to meet who? Jesus. As a church, man, that's what we're supposed to do. And I need all of you to do it in your own way. You Bubbas, now don't get all fancy. Y'all need to say, hey, listen, man, you really messed up. You need Jesus. That communicates to a group of people, amen? Does to me. That God would use you as an invitation to his great work. Isn't that what happened to the Levite? Oh, Levi. He went from taking up money to throwing parties for Jesus. So I pray that you'll throw a party. Ultimately, God will host the great banquet. You read Revelation? At the end, where do we all end up? At a great what? At a great banquet. Pretty cool, isn't it? That's why when we have the Lord's Supper, I tell you that's the appetizer, allowing us to understand there's a great meal that we're waiting for. It's kind of the appetizer. The bread and the wine are the appetizer of the coming meal, a great banquet. And I tell you what, I want everybody that God will draw to that banquet, don't you? And I'm praying that every one of us will get that heart. So let's continue to invite our friends. You've been doing that. I'm just reminding everybody, keep doing that and don't be careful. It's easy to get to going to church so much you forget to be the church. That's very common. It's a little play of the devil. Here's all the devil wants to do is keep you in your seat. This doesn't really threaten the devil. I bless you, Lord, as long as you keep it in your seat. You can read the Bible, just keep it in your seat. It's where the devil gets a little restless if you're going to invite somebody else to a seat. And they start inviting somebody else to the seat because then he's losing turf. Amen? All right. Let's worship the Lord. Let's stand together. We've come to a time to make a decision. We've already had people make decisions this morning. It's been awesome. You all pray. Now listen, I want everybody to anchor in. It's altar time. This is a part of the worship experience. This is not exit time in the worship experience. This is altar time. All right? There are people here today that don't know Jesus Christ. Do y'all realize that? There are people here today, if this is the last day we live, would not make it into heaven. But I want you to know today, that can change right now. And it's been changing this whole service because guess what? God would like to invite you to his salvation. So, Pastor Harris, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. I care about one thing. You ready? You realize you've sinned. How many of y'all have sinned against God? You know you've sinned against God. If you don't mind, when you raise your hand, I'm not reminding you that you've sinned. But you know why? I want other people to see that you know that you've sinned. Because guess what? A lot of people walk in church and they think y'all are perfect because they hadn't met you. I used to think people that went to church were holy. Boy, was I mistaken. People that go to church are saved and they struggle and they're real. And we work it out together in Christ, amen. Christ works through us for his glory. Today, there are going to be some folks, and guess what? As our pastors come forward, you just need to say this. Lord Jesus, I'm tired. I'm sinned. I know I need you. Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. Because you know why he can forgive you? Because he died on that cross. And he shed real blood so that you and I could be clean. And he rose from the grave by the power of God, and he lives in here today. That's how real it is. I don't want anybody to leave without it. Amen. Young people, I love y'all so much. I'm telling y'all, if y'all would get with Jesus and really start listening to him, you'll live a lot better life than a lot of your parents did. My generation chased the dollar. That's all they lived for. Now they're ending up headed toward a nursing home full of pills. They all take happy pills because what they chased couldn't bring them life. They got a big house. Now they got sore knees and they got to walk to the third floor to wash their clothes. That was a cool idea when they were 20, but it ain't so cool at 70. Now it's just a big house. You see, God hasn't called us to a big house. He's called us to a big party. He's called us to a great life. And I just pray that there'll be some people receive it today. If that's happened to you during the week, we want to encourage you. We believe in the Bible here at Hillview. We believe the Bible tells you to be baptized. We absolutely know it does. Jesus asked you to be baptized as an act of obedience. And so we found this. The more obedient you are to Christ, the more blessing begins to flow through your life. Does that make sense? And y'all got it going on. Let's continue to welcome sinners. Amen. Hillview, we still got some seats for some friends. We still got some seats for some friends. But we got to keep rolling on that, all right? That's why we have this first year to remind ourselves, okay, what's important to Jesus, not us. What's important to Jesus? Come and day and pray. I just pray that God puts somebody on your mind and in your heart that you need to invite to hear about Jesus, okay? And let's continue to reach out, all right? Here's the best plan I know. Talk to your friends about Jesus. That's better than a big old slick billboard over here on Scottsville Road. I'm not going to do TV commercials. I'm not going to do all that jazz. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that ain't hairstyle. That just ain't what God's called me to. I like the Bible. I still think it works. You know, just come with me and see what God's going to do. Let's have an altar today and let's pray for this city. I pray to God that all of our churches that preach Jesus Christ crucified, they'll be so full this year, Earl, that for the first time in my ministry in Warren County, I can say there are more people starting to lean toward Christ than walk away from Christ. And the only way, Joseph, the only way I can say that, man, you got to invite some of your friends. And Elizabeth, you got to invite some of your friends. Not those cats, though. They're not humans. But friends to Christ. Amen. We got to sell Italian ice and let them know that Jesus will soothe their soul. Amen. We got to do what God calls us to do. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, right now in this house, your Spirit is able to convince those who are unconvinced of your grace. Lord, move. Move, Jesus. If you've asked Jesus Christ in your life, you know you want to be forgiven. You know you want to be connected to heaven. You've asked Jesus, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me. He's going to do it. You must believe he died on the cross and he's risen from the grave. He is the Son of God. Lord Jesus, come into my life. If you've made that decision, you've already made that decision, you know you need to be baptized, just start coming forward right now. And our pastors are going to talk to you and they're going to love on you. If you've never been baptized, at Hillview we practice immersion. Meaning this, we're going to put you under the water because we want you to know your sin is dead. And we're going to watch you rise out of the water saying, I'm going to live a life it's unstoppable because my Savior lives forever. He lives forever. Timmy, you were baptized after a stroke and you're still good, aren't you? Praise God, brother. Every day getting better. You know what? Every day I'm getting a little better. How many of y'all getting a little better every day? All right, church, balcony. In the name of Jesus, there's some great stairs right there. They're good ones. They walk right down here to the altar. On this side, there's some stairs right here. They're very good. I watched them put them in. They got a great angle. Hold on to the rail, and they'll lead you right here to the altar, all right? In the name of Jesus, let's have a moment with God that we'll never forget. Let's come forward and receive him. Let's be baptized. Let's pray for our friends. Let's pray that God really move and use a little place on Nashville Road called Hillview Heights Church to do big things for the kingdom of God. Come on, church, don't stand there today. I'm asking you to come in the name of Jesus. Let him have you. Let him have you in the name of Jesus. Come on.